This is a download from the BBC. For more information and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.
bbclearningenglish.com presents Talk About English, a series of radio features that support your English language studies. This program is for people who want some help following English news bulletins. We focus on some of the language and topics that often appear in the news, as we join Gary Stevens for this program, first broadcast in 2003.
Water. Do we have enough of it? Will this precious resource be the cause of future wars? Turn the pages of your newspaper, tune in to the radio news. These topics appear over and over again. Water is a subject that affects us all. It touches our lives in different ways.
We are in front of a tap where there's a large queue and people, some of them are waiting in the line and some have gone away. This is a long queue and they had to actually stand for quite a long time to take water.
Usually this river is full. What's flowing now is only a quarter of what usually flows. There is no water here for irrigation or even for industry or drinking.
She's saying water is life. Without water, they can't survive. If she was at home now and there's no water, the children will cry, the little goat's kids will be making a lot of noise. She will need to give them food. There's no water. So there's no life without water. To them, water is everything.
The facts and figures that lie behind these human stories are dramatic. In this series, we consider the themes that feature in BBC World Service news programmes. Today's big story is water. We'll focus on some of the issues and, of course, the language behind the topic. And we'll look at how water is reported in the news. As science journalist Helen Sewell explains, water is a very broad subject.
There are issues like sanitation, the availability of clean water, of water for you to wash your hands in after you've been to the toilet, for example, to make sure that there are sewage systems in place, and some of the poorer countries don't have those sewage systems. And then, of course, if the water from people's toilets gets mixed up with drinking water, then you've got all sorts of problems, and that can lead to many, many thousands of deaths. More than a billion people worldwide already lack enough safe water to meet the minimum health levels. And the United Nations Environment Programme says that the water shortage is the second most worrying problem this millennium after global warming.
Helen Sewell of the BBC Science Radio Unit. Huge numbers of people around the world don't have enough safe water to drink. Many more do not have access to proper sanitation. But what's the reason for this water shortage? Scientists tell us that the amount of available water isn't changing. So, are we just using more of it?
We are using more of it. The world population is growing rapidly. So, of course, more people use more water. And also, more people need more food. So, as more crops are planted, more water is needed to make sure that those crops grow so that we can be fed as well as watered. And one of the other reasons that we're using more water for agriculture is that in places where there was a lot of drought and the crops were naturally, I suppose, drought resistant, they've been replaced with these high-yield miracle seeds, which basically provide much more food from the same crop as you would have from the drought-resistant crop. But of course, they need much more water to water them. And in addition, some people don't water their crops in the most efficient way. So through poor irrigation methods, a lot of water is lost as well.
Water shortages are made worse through poor management of water resources and inefficient watering of the land. In addition, safe water can become contaminated as a result of poor sanitation or the chemical fertilisers used in agriculture. So, how is it possible to ensure that people everywhere have access to the water they need? Well, one answer is to build dams. But of course, dams don't provide a straightforward solution. They may supply energy and fresh water to those who live nearby, but there's often a price to pay. In some cases, millions of people are forced to leave their homes before the area is flooded. In other cases, the people who live downstream may suddenly find themselves without the water they once enjoyed. When we bear in mind factors like these, we begin to understand how water issues can lead to political disagreement and other tensions.
At the moment, Bangladesh is suffering because India has diverted and dammed so many of its water sources, and Bangladesh depends very heavily on rivers that originate in India. In Israel, Israel takes water wherever it can, which means that Syria and Jordan and the Palestinian townships in Israel don't get as much water as they want, and that can make for political rows as well. And in an unstable region, that could be dangerous as the water shortage becomes more and more severe. Relations between Botswana and Namibia have been severely strained by Namibia's plans to construct a pipeline to divert water from a shared river. And Ethiopia plans to take more water from the Nile, even though Egypt is heavily dependent on those waters for irrigation and power. So it could cause problems. And in fact, in 1995, the vice president of the World Bank made a much-quoted prediction for the next millennium. He said, "If the wars of this century were fought over oil, the wars of the next century will be fought over water."
Who owns the scarce commodity that runs through our rivers or which lies deep below the ground? Water is a highly political issue. And that explains partly why it so often becomes a story in the news. But what is the BBC's role in reporting stories like these, and how do they do it? I put those questions to Helen Sewell, who helps to provide the BBC's news coverage.
Well, we're here to educate people and to inform people, so really we should be highlighting the issues as they arise and telling them in a very factual way, without bias to one side or another, if there's a conflict. And we do tend to look at crises because that's what people are interested in. So if there's a major flood or a drought, we tend to focus on how many people are without water, how many people could die. And that's rather morbid, but in order to be part of news programming, we have to have a story, a new story that our listeners haven't heard before and that they're going to be interested in hearing.
When, as a journalist, you're reporting stories about crises around the world to do with water issues, is it difficult to find the sort of language that's appropriate for the news story?
It's not a difficult thing to do. What we tend to do is avoid using all the adjectives that fiction writers would use. So we wouldn't say, for example, it's a most terrible, awful, appalling drought. We would just say there's a drought. We might say the drought is the worst to hit whichever country it is for the past 30 years and X million people are affected by it. Now, everybody knows that if so many million people are affected and it's such a bad drought, then it is going to be terrible, appalling and awful. So we don't need to use the emotive language there.
WaterAid is a charity whose offices are based in London, next to the River Thames. I decided to get their view on news coverage about water. I've come to see Sharon Brandself, who's the media manager for WaterAid. That's the UK charity that helps the world's poorest people gain access to water, sanitation and hygiene education. And we're sitting next to the River Thames, which runs through the centre of London, in sight of the Houses of Parliament and the Palace of Westminster. And it's also a historic site, I think, Sharon.
Yes, I believe we're actually over one of the main sewerage systems that runs through the whole of London. And it's probably dates back about 150 years when we first actually started pioneering a sewerage system to clean up London.
If you look at the way that water issues are reported in the newspapers today or the kind of reports we hear in news programming, what's your view as part of a campaigning organisation, a water organisation, about the way that water is reported?
I think that there has been a noticeable change in the media as to how water and sanitation is covered. the World Summit in Johannesburg last August really did help change that agenda. It put development into the public domain and something that would be of interest to people. So we were getting a lot of attention. The UK's main newspapers and television and radio news were all wanting to know about that very human side. How are the poorest people affected by the lack of most basic needs like water and sanitation? And that's something that had been difficult to sell to the media in the past. The media were wanting to know more about water walls and that kind of thing rather than that very human need.
That's been my experience just talking to journalists at the BBC World Service, that they tend to react to crises or to specific events happening. Is that something that you've noticed as well?
Definitely. I mean, I think that's the nature of news. It kind of ticks off one of the requirements, doesn't it, for a journalist? This is something happening now. It also ticks off another one. It's bad news, and that always seems to sell very well in the UK. But I do think that behind the news are always these more deep-rooted issues. Before any disaster, emergency, especially in the developing world, happens, there are development issues that could have solved the problem before it even started or prevented the problem. And I think that has certainly come to the public's attention more in the past year or maybe 2 years, where people are thinking, no, it's poverty at the root of these problems, and let's look at how we can change those and get some practical solutions going.
What, as a water charity and as a media manager for a water charity, would you ideally like to see reported in news bulletins?
It's incredibly important to keep reminding people of the fact that we're looking at 1.1 billion people without any safe water to drink, 2.4 billion people without any sanitation, and that problem is getting worse rather than better. I'd also like to see much more attention paid to the targets that were set at the World Summit last year, which was a piece of hope, really, for Africa especially, setting a target that by 2015 we'd be halving the amount of people who are having to live without water and sanitation. And I don't want that to be a forgotten issue now. I really think it's the media's role to help keep it in the public eye, to keep saying, OK, we know you set these targets to the world's governments, but now what are you doing about it?
I was talking to Sharon Brandself, media manager for the UK water charity WaterAid.
That was Talk About English from bbclearningenglish.com.